course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends today. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too shabby. I actually got a really good deal on a Airbnb rental, so we'll be checking that out soon.
Yeah? Where are you going?
I'm joking. yeah, somewhere in California. No kidding.
There you go. I was trying to keep the narrative going there.
That's right.
Yeah, you got to make sure you look at the pictures, folks, when you rent do a rental.
Make sure those reviews are real.
That's right. So that brings us to our review on this episode is Killer Rentals. That is coming up in a little bit. But did you also watch season 2, episode 1 of Creep Tapes?
I sure did. I gave it a watch.
All right. The episode is titled Joseph. So without giving away anything, Ike, what did you think?
I thought it was really good. I thought that it was surprising. I think it was better than season one, episode one. So I think as a season opener, it was moderately better than the first season. I think that the concept that they introduced in this was something that they should have introduced in season one. I'm not going to give it away totally, but I'll just say that the concept is copycats. And this episode had David Dasmalchian in it, and he did fantastic. But I would love to see like a fully expanded upon idea with that, other than just the 30 minutes that we got with the episode.
Yeah, me too. This is definitely, I think, one of the more clever episodes they've done yet. Really, really well done. And it flew by. It got done and I had to kind of look. I was like, God, was that as long as it should have been? Because it didn't feel like it to me. It was so fun through the entire, it was nonstop. It was entertaining from start to finish. It was, there was not a dull moment in this thing. And I could watch those two guys pretty much anything together. They would be great. As they were in this, such a great episode. So we'll say it again, guys, if you're not watching the Creep franchise, you know, the movies, the Creep Tate series, you need to get out there and get on it. It's so good, so fun, so creative. It's a blast. It is so enjoyable. So, well, besides Killer Rental, besides the Creep Tape, Season 2, Episode 1, did you watch anything else this week, Ike?
Yeah, I went and watched Season 2 of Wednesday. I finished that.
Oh, yeah.
It was really good. Obviously left it on the cliffhanger, so I'm excited to see where they go with that. And they did get greenlit for another season, so we'll probably get Season 3 in a couple of years. I love Netflix originals. I love like Wednesday and Stranger Things, but Netflix really needs to like figure the fuck out how to make things quickly. I don't know what their deal is. I don't know why they do this, but they always leave so much time between projects, and it does not seem to me. It does not. I don't see how they could profit off of that. You know, Stranger Things is the perfect example. There's years between seasons. And it's losing steam. Like, I'm excited for season 5. I will watch season 5 because I'm a diehard fan. But people who are just casual viewers of the show are losing steam so bad with these shows because they're just not coming out quick enough. But anyways, I watched that. Got on a rant there.
They are marketing the hell out of these shows between though. They are This stuff are. Is there. I don't know if I've ever seen a merchandise show like Stranger Things. It's just so peculiar. They have I think it's with Popeyes now. There's a Stranger Things meal and stuff. It's just it's everywhere. It's so odd.
So Popeyes is actually a Five Nights at Freddy's meal.
I thought they had
Stranger. Donut. Let me look.
Okay. Then who
Let
was
me.
Stranger Things was someone. For some reason, I was thinking of Popeyes. I
I
don't
think
know.
it was Burger King, wasn't
Maybe it
or is it
was.
McDonald's?
I don't think it was McDonald's.
Let's see.
I can't remember who it was.
Well, McDonald's did their strange teaming up with Stranger Things for a limited time meal. It's gonna come with a toy. So yeah, McDonald's, and it's gonna be a Big Mac meal with a toy,
That's weird.
basically.
Then what did I see? It seemed like it was, didn't seem like it was McDonald's. I don't know what I saw.
KFC is also getting one too. Well, that might just be in the UK.
Who is it?
KFC.
Oh yeah, that's probably the one I saw. So maybe it was just somewhere else.
Burger? No, that's KFC. Never mind. I thought I said burger. So McDonald's
No.
and Burger King seem, or McDonald's and KFC seem to be getting one.
Now Wednesday was with Burger King. When they when
What
that season 2 came out, they
wasn't that
had.
Wednesday? Wasn't that no, that was Wendy's. Wednesday at Wendy's.
Well, then what was Burger King? What did Burger King have?
Burger
Was it
King
just
did get
generic?
something. No, they did. I swear they got something.
I can't keep up with all this shit. That's right, because Wednesday did the special, or Wendy's did the special Frosty. And that's right. I can't keep up with all this anymore. Too many places getting too much stuff.
I think they just did a Halloween Whopper. I think it was just a jack-o'-lantern Whopper that they just did for October.
This stuff used to be unique and novelty, and it's just like now everybody's got something all the time, and it's so hard. And I mean, I miss stuff that I would have been interested in, and it's just everybody's got every. It's such short attention spans with stuff. It's like everybody's got to have a promotion every time, every restaurant,
No,
and
100%. It is.
it's berserker.
It really is because.
It doesn't feel special as special anymore as it used to.
No, I mean, even things like that used to be super special, like the McRib. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't had the McRib in years, and honestly, I don't get it for the principle that McDonald's got rid of the McRib for no fucking reason, and said they're never bringing it back. And
Yeah.
then the very next year brought it back. So I'm never gonna eat the McRib again because fuck McDonald's.
Yeah. I get one every year just out of whatever nostalgia, whatever. But we make McRibs at home that are 100 times better anyway.
Hell yeah.
Or whatever rib sandwiches, but yeah, it's just everything is just I don't know. None of it feels special anymore when they do things. It's not like just the super big peak movies and shows and stuff are getting this stuff. It's like everything, and I don't know. Maybe some of the stuff is big. It's just not in my world, but I feel like it's too much. Sometimes they bring something in that's just like I don't know whether that needs a huge promotion, and
No, they give these deals to anybody nowadays, it feels like.
yeah, so I don't know. I
But
guess it's not supposed to appeal for everybody, but it just there's so much of it anymore. I just almost check out. I mean, I like some of it, and I like, I'm one of those guys that loves that kind of stuff, particularly around Halloween. I love all the specialty things, but when there's so much of it, you feel almost like this overwhelming obligation to try to do it all or get it all or you want, and it's just like it gets to that point where you're like, yeah. I just can't. It's not even fun anymore.
yeah, absolutely. But let's
But
moving
anyway.
on a little bit back to like what we watched this week. I'm still doing my Supernatural rewatch, and I'm on season four. This is I think this is the season they introduced Castiel, and I'm trying to remember where I'm at. I think I'm just at the episode where they have that. They introduced that angel, the redhead, who
Oh, yeah, Anna.
Anna, yeah, and they're trying to get her grace back. And then, I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure this season ends with Sam ex or killing or exorcising Lilith, which breaks the final seal.
Yes.
So that's what we're approaching for season four. But otherwise, that's all I watched.
Good stuff. I didn't watch anything. Nothing horror related. I mean, I did watch the fourth episode of Welcome to Derry. I'm watching that every week, and I'm always watching Supernatural, of course. But yeah, nothing else. I don't think I watched any. don't think I watched any movies or anything. I don't know. I remember a couple of times scrolling through some of the services, to start to find something, and got sidetracked and distracted, and didn't end up going back to a movie. And I do that. I get busy, and it's like then I just end up. I'm like, well, I just turn on one of my comfort things that I can have in the background, and I don't seek out anymore. So nothing new for me. So all right. So Ike, we're a couple weeks late. We usually do it the first episode of each month, but for some reason we have just forgotten, I guess. But it is time to play Stump the Co-host.
Stump the co-host.
All right, and Stump the Co-host is our horror trivia game. This is where Ike and I have identical horror trivia card decks. We pull two cards from these decks. That's a total of four trivia questions. And then we alternate questions until there is a winner. If there is a tie or no winner at the end of the four questions, we continue on until there is a winner. And we're just playing just for fun now because Ike has already captured the 2025 crown, and you lead this year 8-2. So I'm just trying to see if I can get a couple of wins under my belt and momentum going into 2026. But yada, 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 as they say in Seinfeld. Ike, do you have your cards?
I do.
All right. Well, I will give you the first question. Here we go. What 2013 film was inspired by the Amityville horror story? Excuse me. What 2013 film was inspired by the Amityville horror story and features paranormal investigators?
I'm going to say The Conjuring.
That is The Conjuring.
Very good.
All
All
right.
right. You ready for your first question?
Yeah, sure, why not?
All right. A group of young people are guided through an abandoned radioactive area in Russia in which 2012 film?
Well, I'm just going to, I don't know. I'm going to go to guess and just say Chernobyl.
I'm going to give it to you because it's a movie called Chernobyl
Chernobyl
Diaries.
Diaries. I yes, yes. Now I remember that name. I don't think I've ever seen that. But
But you were close enough, so I think you get that one.
I appreciate the pity points. All right. What 2014 movie involves a widowed mother who becomes worried when her son asks her to read a scary pop-up children's storybook?
That would be the Babadook.
It'll be the Babadook. Correct.
Babadook. All right. Your second question is, what is the name of the possessed doll in Child's Play?
Chucky.
That is correct. I would have also accepted Charles Lee Ray.
Very difficult question there.
Right. You've
What
never seen
act?
that movie, I'm sure.
Nah, never. Or all the subsequent sequels. What actress plays Elizabeth in the 1980 movie The Fog?
Oh, you're the Jamie Lee Curtis.
That is Jamie Lee Curtis.
Okay, I've seen the new Fog, and I'm sure I've seen the old Fog at some point, but I was like, I'm pretty sure it was her. I was hoping it was.
Yep.
All right. Your third question is, what creature is the focus of the 2018 movie Meg? And Meg is a shortened version of this creature's name.
Yeah. God, what is it? I know the movie. I actually believe I've seen the movie. Doesn't this have like Gerard Butler in it or someone like that? Maybe not him,
Statham.
but someone to that
I think
effect.
Statham. Statham, I
Same
think.
though.
Or
Okay,
Jason Statham,
I knew it
yeah.
was one of those kind of guys. God, what is it? I'm just gonna take kind of the Megalodorn.
Close enough. Megalodon.
All right.
Yeah, the Megalodon shark. Which, funnily enough, the Megalodon shark was an apex predator at the time that it existed, but it still went extinct. So it makes you think, what caused it to go
Yeah.
extinct? You
What
know what I
was
mean?
higher than the apex?
Well, a lot of people, now scientists, the boring scientists will tell you, oh, they just ran out of prey,
Yeah.
or other creatures became too advanced that they couldn't hunt anymore, yada, yada, yada. I like to think that they're still around. They're just either they adapted to lower depths of the ocean that we haven't yet explored, or maybe they just eat all these creatures and we just don't know.
Yeah. Boy, if somebody ever comes across one of those, they're gonna be in for a surprise.
Yes, they are.
All right, your final question. The female lead in this film finds herself followed by an invisible force after sleeping with her boyfriend. Well, this is,
Oh, it follows.
say, this is right up your alley. It
Yeah.
follows.
I almost for a second, I was about to say the Invisible Man, because it's an
Well,
invisible, but not quite. All right. Your fourth and final question, well, maybe final question. A horror novelist returns to his boyhood home and finds that it's been invaded by ghosts and ghouls in this 1985 movie.
Ooh, damn. I bet I know this movie too, and balls. This is right in my time period too. Why am I sure? You know what? I don't know. I can't think of, I can't think of it. I give.
It
What is it?
is House.
No. Okay. I'm not super familiar with that, so that might be why.
I've seen it on streaming services, but I have never watched it. Not that I know of.
When you started describing it, I thought, oh, this is going to be sinister, because wasn't he an author in that?
He was an author.
I thought that's where you were going with it. But then you pulled out the 1985, and I was like, ah, well. Well, there you go. So I lost again, but put on a good run there.
You did.
I got three right to the took it all the way to the end, almost in it in overtime. So not bad, not bad. I'll take it. It's an improvement for me.
That's right.
All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll have our news, birthdays, movie anniversaries, and all that. So stick around. Make sure you subscribe to listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news. And welcome back with the news. All right. We're going to go ahead and rock on roll here. We're going to go ahead and start with filming has wrapped with Insidious 6, which is scheduled to release in theaters August 21st, 2026. We have done a pretty extensive dive into the Insidious universe when Insidious the Red Door came out. So definitely a fan favorite here at Listen to Their Screams. And we're very excited for another movie to come out in 2026 for sure.
Yeah, and this is doesn't this lean heavily into the one older lady?
Yeah, her name's Eileen or Aileen or something like that, or
I don't know. I've been not feeling well lately, and today I'm just feel like I'm in a fog because I can't think of anything. But yeah, but I couldn't even remember. I barely remember Red Door. I'm like, what was that about again? But this was, I think that wasn't this kind of set up pretty heavy there at the end of Red Door, wasn't it?
yeah, there was another movie you said it pretty well. I think within the universe of the Insidious universe, or was it the second movie? I can't remember. But no, it's Lynn Shay is the actress, and it's Elise is her name.
Yeah, there you go. So, but yeah, I'm all about it. Can't wait. Give it a
Yeah.
watch. Sure, we'll review it.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll probably have Leigh Whannell and James Wan attached to it. And maybe maybe our buddy Patrick Wilson will come back for a cameo or something. Or maybe he'll just sing something beautifully, like he did for the last one. Oh man, that was a good one. But very good. But we'll get some more news about that. Hopefully a trailer in the next 6 months. Probably later, but we'll see. And our other little bit of news, Shelby Oaks is now available video on demand. We were actually going to review this a few weeks back, but this had a very limited theatrical release, and we just did not have it in our area. that always happens, right? We hope and pray that we're going to get a movie in our area, and we just don't, for whatever reason. Distribution rights are weird, and it's hard to say, whether the theater that we have near us even got the distribution rights, or who knows. But it's on video on demand, and then should soon be on normal streaming services in the next month or so, hopefully.
Yeah, it's all peculiar. It's peculiar how a place will get like some movie that's pretty obscure, and you think, "Huh, that's weird," and then they don't get other. I mean, maybe there's not a rhyme or reason. I don't know. I know there's only so many screens out there, in the country. So I know not every theater can show everything. So it is what it is. But yeah, I was actually looking forward to seeing this, and so now I look forward to either watching it video on demand or when it comes to straight streaming. And I'm sure one way or another, when we get to it, we'll at least speak on it a little bit at the opening of an episode or something, probably.
Yeah, absolutely. But we'll check that out when it comes out. But we also, I think that's pretty much it for our news. Yeah, it's all for our news. But we do have some upcoming birthdays. We're going to start with November 20th, 1954. Richard Brooker, sorry, Brooker, who played Jason in Friday the 13th Part 3. For those of you who are maybe not super familiar with that, this is the pretty iconic chapter where he obtains his ma a hockey mask.
That's right.
This is not my definitive Jason, but this is a very good Jason. This is part three Jason, which is pretty decent.
My definitive, Jason.
Yep, that I was
Yes.
gonna, I couldn't remember
Love
if that
us.
was your definitive or if it was
Yes.
earlier.
I love part three. So fun. This is the 3D when they put in the obvious 3D elements that you can see, the whatever, the sticks pointing at the camera and different things. And this one's got the one goofy guy in it, right? With the curly hair that's into like movie effect things and plays dead a couple times. Isn't that one? He in that one too?
Oh yeah, I think
Yeah,
so.
the one with
I
the
think so.
bikers and stuff.
Yeah.
Which the bikers are, I think, are just brought into it to be body count.
Yeah,
That
for sure.
that's the only way he's in there introduced, but. Yeah, it's a fun one. This is fun. This has got the weird couple towards the beginning that own, I guess, a little market store or whatever, and
Oh yeah, that's right.
it grosses me out every time because the guy's like eating from packages in his store and putting it back down, and he's got like a rabbit laying in the produce and stuff, and I'm like, I would never shop at that store.
Nope, I think that just give me the heebie-jeebies. I'd be like, I'm out of here. But
Yeah.
what is it? OSHA violations aside, or health code
Yeah,
violations aside,
pretty sure he gets killed while taking a shit,
he does.
and his wife gets oh no, she doesn't get he I think he gets killed with one of her knitting needles or something, I
I believe
think,
so.
one of the, because I remember she says something about, now where did that other knitting needle go, and you're like, oh, wonder what happened there.
It's in his brain.
But I guess we can thank the grocery store guy because it is apparently it's his clothing that Jason steals to put on to give that him that iconic look.
That's true. That's true. He is part of the creation of
That's right.
the iconic Jason.
He will live in infamy.
True.
For and I guess she will too for hanging out the laundry because she put it out there. But, no, it's a fun movie. It's a little goofy, a little campy, but it's fun. It's kind of 80s horror at its best, and Richard Brooker did a great job as Jason in this one.
No, absolutely. And that's 100% true. This is iconic, campy 80s. Like, this is, if you like campy movies, this is up your alley for sure.
Yeah, and Richard no longer with us. He passed away just a few years ago.
Oh.
So he was, but he was big on the convention circuit when he was still alive. Got out there, and I'm sure he signed his fair share of hockey masks.
I'm sure. That's kind of probably going to be like top three, like hockey mask, fake machetes. Real machetes.
I'd love to have a hockey mask signed by ideally anybody that played Jason. I mean, theoretically it might be able to pull off if you can buy the right one that's got anybody that's passed away, but get anybody that's played Jason in the movie. I'd love to have a hockey mask with all of them signed. That would be pretty cool.
That would be cool. That'd be very cool. I don't know if they all do certain like all the circuits and stuff, but maybe.
would
But
think they've been out there some. I don't know.
I would hope so, at least to some degree. But all right. Cool stuff. So if you haven't watched it, or maybe if you're waiting to watch it, perfect time to watch part three. We got a birthday for him there. So it'd be a good time to put that on your watch list if you haven't already.
Sure. It's always a good time.
Always a good time. And then November 22nd of 1958, so a few years later, Jamie Lee Curtis, we were just talking about you. She's known for, of course, playing a small part in a small movie called Halloween, Laurie Strode. Maybe you've never heard of it. He's, also was in The
Me, I'll put
Fog.
that on my list to make sure I watch that.
Right. Never seen her before. The Fog, Prom Night, many other things. Recently won an Oscar for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Fantastic actress, very, very talented. Has a lot of just amazing movies and productions. Just supremely talented character for sure.
Yeah, she's. I don't know. You hear all these weird. I'm not big on them, but you hear all these weird. Oh, if you're making a Mount Rushmore of whatever, who would be on it and whatever else? And I don't know, man. I don't know how you could do a horror one and not put her on it. I mean, she's done so much, and such a big part of the Halloween franchise, which is one of the most known and iconic franchises there is. But then you have movies, again, like Prom Night, the Fog, Terror Train. Some of those are pretty known movies within the horror world, and that's not even I mean, then you just have her as an actress, then you, not even taking into account her other stuff, the Freaky Friday and the sequel and the movie that she won the award for, and different what was it, True Lies, the Schwarzenegger movie she did,
Yeah.
and I mean, whatever else. I mean, she's done so much, and she's just absolute queen. They call Scream Queens, and yes, there's lots of them, but I think if you had to put one queen to lead them all, it might be Jamie Lee.
I think so. I think I'd have to agree. She is the top of the food chain as far as Scream Queens go, in my opinion. So she is the apex predator.
That's right. That's right.
We'll call back there, but very good. Happy birthday, Jamie Lee,
Still
rounding
working.
out. Still work. Oh yeah, absolutely. Still working 100%.
I mean,
Happy.
some would say doing her best work. I mean, she's, like you said, won what was it, an Academy Award, you said?
Oscar for
Oscar,
best supporting
yeah.
actress.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, some could argue it's doing her best work ever.
I would say that at least. On paper, she is objectively doing her best work right now,
At
considering she
least,
won an
yeah.
award.
At least mainstream. I mean,
Yeah.
overall. Not genre based, but
For
it's
sure.
always nice. I like to see. I'm not saying she's been locked into the horror genre, because she's done plenty outside of that. But it's what she's most known for. So it's nice to see someone from that was so big within the genre get acknowledgement and awards outside, where just to show, hey, she's not just a good horror actor. She's just a good actor in general.
No, absolutely. It's weird because, like you said, she kind of got a little pigeonholed with the whole horror, part. But then at the same time, especially in the last couple decades, I mean, she's really done a lot of very diverse works. So
Yeah, I
it's
mean,
interesting.
early in her career, it was a lot of that, right? She was doing a lot of horror, and but then she broke out of it within, in the 80s, she broke out and do other, what I love is she's never put down the horror as, oh yeah, that's just how I got started, or it's she's always held it up there as important parts of her career. She's always came back and revisited the Halloween franchise, and doing H2O, and then doing the new movies, and she's never shunned it. And it's just, to her, it's just an important part of her career. And again, I like that, right? She's gone on to so many bigger things. She never had to venture back to Halloween, or whatever. She could have been fine, but she cared about it, and she got the right scripts, and wanted to do it, and she did, and again, because she respects that work, she respects what John Carpenter did and everything, and doesn't. So, you hear it all the time. Somebody will say, "Oh, that's just those silly horror movies that I got started with, and everything else." But not her.
Yeah. Absolutely. So big ups to Jamie Lee Curtis and happy birthday.
I mean, we could do a
So,
whole episode just talking about Jamie Lee.
oh, absolutely. Her works, her career, just
Just
all of it.
this
So,
whole just a whole episode.
absolutely. But as we're
Not
talking
this
about
one though.
legends, no, this one's another legend.
Oh yeah. Could spend a whole
This is
episode on
a
this one too.
absolutely. I mean, OG, quite literally, of the horror genre. We had November 23rd, 1887, Boris Karloff, the character of Frankenstein. I did other stuff too. Boris Karloff is a
Yes.
very prolific actor for the time. I mean, Frankenstein. I mean, how do you do Frankenstein and not just be known for as Frankenstein, you know?
I mean, he did plenty of other horror stuff, right? I mean, he did Black Cat, lots of other things. I mean, he did movies with Bela Lugosi. They did them again, not as Dracula and Frankenstein. They did other stuff, and it's good. It's all good. But yeah, I mean, Karloff had a hell, he had almost a whole career acting before. I mean, he did lots of stage stuff and some other movies, and but we every time we speak about anybody from the Universal, I mean, movie, he defined. He didn't only play Frankenstein, and again, I love Frankenstein. I think it's just pretty much this close about as close as you may ever get to a perfect movie in my eyes. It's gorgeous, it's beautiful, it does what it needs to do and doesn't overstay its welcome. He does such a wonderful job, but you can even take it next level again. Like we talked about not too long with Bela Lugosi in pop culture. I don't care if it's generic comic books, generic cartoons, generic whatever. When you see a Frankenstein, a piece of merchandise that has the bolts and that stitched up, that certain blockhead, flat top look, that's based on Boris Karloff. And, and I'm not saying he didn't develop that look, that was not him, but that's what he's known for. And then of course, what some people may or may not know, this is probably his second biggest thing of his career is that he narrated The Grinch That Stole Christmas, the cartoon version from back in the day. So every time you watch that classic old school Dr. Seuss cartoon this time of year, that's his majestic voice narrating it and telling the story. So it's pretty incredible to have such those two big things. So they're so different, but yet so cool. And I believe, pretty sure, I don't hold me to it, but I think related to the Grinch stuff, I believe he won a Grammy Award for
Really?
I think because they put out like a soundtrack or a release or something, that had a lot of his narration on it, and I think I could be wrong. I don't know. The Grammys may not have existed. I don't know. But I thought I read that somewhere. I'm not a big Grammy person, never have been. But I thought I had heard that somewhere. So whatever the case may be, again, Boris Karloff's a guy I can sit here and talk about for a whole episode. Getting into his other works, even besides Frankenstein and everything, Bride of Frankenstein, of course, and just the other stuff he's done, but that's not what this episode is. So, but again, you talk. I don't know. I'm biased. I love Frankenstein. So I mean, just I love Boris Karloff. Such a great guy, and it pretty much wrecked his back making that movie because of the prosthetics and the boot, the raise, the lift shoes, and different things he was trying to do in that stuff. He had back problems for the rest of his life, because of that movie, and that's dedication. Because in those, stunts and everything, whatever you may have, they weren't the same as they are today. It was a they were developing a lot of that stuff. That's to me, that's one of the banner stuff about this. A lot of these effects and stunts and the shots they were doing, they had to develop this stuff as they were doing it. Because we're talking the early days of talking movies and everything else, and so there wasn't. There wasn't all this work to piggyback off of and improve and take it to the next level. No, they were developing it and they were laying the foundation. And it always makes it so much more fascinating to me that it would be something to watch them do that and watch how that just happened and that thought development pro the thought process, the development process of this stuff of wanting to do something that didn't exist and how you do it, right? How you come up with those. I mean, everybody involved in those movies they're geniuses.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And I did confirm Boris Karloff did win a Grammy for How the Grinch Stole Christmas in 1968. So that
There you
is
go.
accurate.
All right. Well, see, why can't I get that kind of shit in the trivia game so I can. I
That's funny.
know
You're like,
stuff like that, but
hey, I knew that. Where
I
the
don't know 1985's house, but yeah, well.
Great. That's funny. But hey, you knew that. And we give you credit for that. So 10 points to you, Gryffindor.
There you go.
No,
That's
just
right.
kidding. But all right. So our last birthday is we have November 25th, 1986. We have Katie Cassidy, of course, a Supernatural alum. She played Ruby in the first couple seasons, right? The first couple seasons, that's right.
The original Ruby.
The OG, and she's also in the Black Christmas remake from 06, as well as the Nightmare on Elm Street remake
Was
from.
also an Arrow. If any, I know it's not horror, but anybody watch the Arrow TV show? She was in that.
That's right. Yep. I remember that. She's also in the movie Taken, not a horror movie, but
Yeah, I mean she's done quite a few things. She's, you know, and everything else, but that's to me, I think that's her biggest kind of her biggest calling cards for horror. I don't know. She may have done some other things. I don't know, but yeah, I she's probably my favorite Ruby. No offense, I like Genevieve Padalecki too. I think she does a great job too. But I don't know. I think I just have to give that slight. Oh, I don't know. It's too close to call. We'll just appreciate them both for what they are.
Absolutely, absolutely. But and then I know that Genevieve plays her. Yeah, I think those are the only two, right?
What's that?
That those are the only two people that play Ruby, right? It's Genevieve
Yes.
Padalecki
Yes.
and
Yeah. And then, yeah.
Katie Cassidy. Cool. Well,
Two rubies, two Megs.
I thought the other one was Meg, but
And again,
I can't.
they're both so good. It's like, you know, it's hard. I like the second Meg much better, but, well, maybe not much better, but better, but the first Meg was still really, really good for what she was. And it's hard to say you have a favorite because I feel like that's putting down the other. So,
That's true. That's
and I've,
true. You don't want to say you don't like them, but hey,
no,
you can have favorites. You can have favorites.
that's true. And I would suspect that Katie Cassidy probably moved away from Ruby. If I had to guess, I bet the timing was that's when Arrow started. Because they were both
Yeah.
CW shows. She was probably under a CW contract. I'm guessing that she slid over and got the part in Arrow. And that's probably when she stopped playing Ruby. If I had to
Probably.
fathom a guess. But again, we're going on that Supernatural pipeline that I don't know. I don't know what people think of that.
Was gonna say, you start getting all supernatural, and people are like, "All right, I've turned it off."
Again, I could talk like all episode, every episode about Supernatural, but
God
alas,
bless.
not what
We
we're here for again.
should sometimes do like a series of episodes where we discuss like a singular season or something like that, because I feel
We
like that would.
totally
Because I could definitely talk about all the seasons, but some are good, some are bad.
could scratch that itch a little bit.
Yeah. But very good. Happy birthday to you, Katie Cassidy, the OG Ruby. But all right, that does it for our birthday. So we have
She
one
was really good in
anniversary.
the
Yep.
Nightmare remake too, though.
Oh, absolutely. No, she's very good in Nightmare Remake. And I remember I went and watched the went and watched the Black Christmas that she was in last year for the first time, and it was good, but I think that was the one that was kind of weird because it was like it wasn't the same as the other Black Christmas. I think this one was like it was like this like it was a weird psych out. It wasn't like the original was,
Yeah.
but
But no matter what,
it's still good.
she's good in all of it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But again, happy birthday, Katie Cassidy. But all right. Now we have one movie anniversary. This is actually very timely because we were just talking about this, and one of our birthdays was in this movie. We have November 21st, 1931, Frankenstein. Of course, Boris Karloff played the monster in Frankenstein. Did you know that Boris Karloff was in like 80 movies before he landed the role and became popular for Frankenstein?
I knew he was in lots of them.
Isn't that crazy? 80
Yeah.
film before Frankenstein.
Boris Karloff was also in The Mummy.
Yeah, he played Imhotep.
Not The Mummy. But
Imhotep. Different film.
he was he did have some of that heritage. I'm not sure exactly where he was from. I'm don't believe Boris Karloff is his birth name.
No, he's from the UK.
Oh well, that's true. Yeah, but I mean, but it's family. He has, I believe, some heritage, kind of from the Middle East somewhere. I don't know. So he got, because of his look and complexion and all, he got typecast in a lot of those kind of roles. A lot of times early in his career.
I got you.
So, but yeah, I mean, he has an unbelievable amount of work in his catalog. I mean, if you do the math there, he was when he did Frankenstein, he was pretty much 44 years old. That's unreal.
Yeah, he
That's just
has 459 credits, specifically 207 as an actor.
that's I mean, that's a lot. Yeah, I mean, yeah, and he was on. There's also, you go out there and find it, I think. There was some TV show. I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, it's an old TV show where they would bring someone or to this thing, thinking they were there to going to something to honor somebody. And then they would turn the tables and it was actually honoring them. And they would be up there and they'd have people like from their past career and stuff come out there and they would talk for a little bit and stuff like that. He was on one of those. I think it's on YouTube where he went thinking he was going to like his dinner thing or something to honor someone, and then it turned out he was the honoree. And it's kind of touching because you could just tell the how much he enjoyed seeing the people that came out. And you could tell, you just tell by looking at him, he's very touched by it. He always, everything I've seen by him, every interview clip, whatever, he always seemed like a very, very kind, generous man. And his daughter, Sarah, has been very prominent in keeping his heritage alive, his legacy alive. And everybody, there was always, everybody always had kind words, said he was just such a great guy. So here we are back on Boris Karloff again.
Yeah. The show you're talking about is called This Is Your Life.
Yeah, I knew
And
it was something like that.
they bring unsuspecting celebrities to a studio under false pretenses. Once there, they are surprised by loved ones sharing memories, culminating in gifts like jewelry and camera equipment. And that was, it ran from 1950 to 1993. So that ran for 43 years. That's crazy.
Gifts
Also,
like jewelry and camera equipment. That's
That's
funny.
funny,
Just
but
sounds good.
I did the math too, just because I was curious. He had 207 films under his belt when he passed away in 1981. Obviously, he didn't act his entire life, so
Sure.
he acted from the years. Let's see. I partially did the math. So if we counted his whole life, that's 2.5 movies per year. But
Yeah.
obviously, he didn't act his entire life. So he acted starting in 1919 and then until 1971, which is crazy. So 1971 minus 1919, that's 52 years that he was an actor.
So he was doing
That's,
averaging like almost four movies a year.
yeah, 207 divided by 52 is 3.98 movies per year. So that means this man was doing about four movies per year from 1919 until 1971. But from 1930s, so when he did Frankenstein, because that was in 1931 until 1971, so for about 40 years, he did acting with a bad back. Because I just looked at his trivia. He had a bunch of back surgeries because of the strain that happened during Frankenstein. So for over half of his acting career, he did it disabled. That
Absolutely.
is insane.
Yep. Now, to be fair, a lot of those early roles were just bit parts, little parts, probably. I mean, those aren't all starring roles. So, all those 200 and something, but still, I mean, post Frankenstein, especially a lot of that when he was doing horse, they were starring roles, or at least major roles, with a lot of work. And it's remarkable. He just, I mean, what a work ethic.
It really is. I mean, that's insane. That's hard to comprehend. Like, I couldn't imagine doing four movies per year while also in debilitating pain.
And
Just, that's
here
insane.
we gotta wait years for Stranger Things season 5. Good God.
Yeah, don't get me started. If Boris Karloff can do four movies per year in pain and the
You kids can get off your ass and go go make
here's
Stranger
Listen, here's the thing. I do not blame the kids. Let me make that clear. I do not blame the kids, but
they're not
I
kids
blame
anymore either.
bro. They're like grown. They're grown adults. They're in their fucking 20s, bro. Oh my God. The fucking people at goddamn Netflix need to get off their ass and figure out how to make TV series in a realistic amount of time. Sons of bitches.
Mark Duplass doesn't make us wait. He can't, he's churning this creep tape stuff out.
Absolutely, goddamn right. Mark Duplass over here basically making the shit out of his own pocket.
Be
And
fair, most of his episodes only have two people in them, but
I was gonna
him being
say,
one of them.
yeah, right. You're not even joking. Like, literally, he's filming, directing, writing.
They're pretty much single camera shoots, so. That's
But
why it's even more remarkable how good it is.
listen, just because Mark Duplass has gotten the formula down to a T
That's
does
right.
not let anybody else off the hook.
Just find your formula.
That's right. Find your fucking formula, goddamn Netflix. All right. Before I get down on that path and I start to get angry, that's going to do it for our news, birthdays, anniversaries, and we don't have any upcoming releases. We have one, I guess, technically, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. But when we come back, we will have our official review of the Screambox original, Killer Rental. Stick around.
Hey, Bruiser buddies, I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today, with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. All right, and we're back here and listen to the screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing Killer Rental, written by Ben Hasdorff and Jonathan Caden, directed by Ben Hasdorff and Jonathan Caden, starring Lindsay Arnold, Momo Bedler, Aaron Covet, and many others. This is a quite a cast. It's really a group cast. I couldn't list everybody, but they all have a lot of screen time. And the movie was released on Screenbox on November 18th. I don't have a lot to say about this movie. It was okay, but it wasn't over the top spectacular. There, I you know. I hate saying anything negative about any kind of independent film. I really do. Because I know a lot of these people are just getting started. This is their first, some of their first stuff out of the gates. And, but, you know, I gotta, you know, I gotta, I have to be honest. The movie wasn't super original. The concept has been done. They did an okay job with it, but, it was it was very slow moving for a big stretch. It's like I really wanted them to get to something a little quick. I mean, they would have a kill, and then it would just kind of go back to, I don't know. It was kind of peculiar. I think it was a little, I don't know how, a little bit of a too much of a slow burn. I don't know what they could have done live because you can't really short it per se, but I think there needed to be something else in there, some kind of other hook, maybe ramp up the kills just a touch more. Some of the kills were pretty quick. I do. I'm not gonna give anything out. I did kind of like that it was, for lack of a better term, it was a little bit meta, a little, right? It was a thing inside a thing, so to speak, which was okay. And again, it's not, I'm no offense, but I mean, that's been done. And I don't know, I guess I don't know whether that, let me just say, I don't know if the ending that they went with really added much to the movie overall, but it's okay. It didn't really hurt it either. I you know, I do kind of like the primary killer in the movie.
Yeah,
I believe they called him the Carpenter. Is that right? What they the na little name they gave him in the movie?
I believe so.
Yeah, I mean, he had a good look. To me, he had that kind of that. I always look at those the killers in these movies a lot of times, and I always look at them from the point of view of markability, right? Marketability. If this movie were to really get huge, could you see that killer in an action figure or on a t-shirt or something like that? I don't know why. It's the collector in me, I guess. I don't know. And the fact that I love that stuff, and I could, I could really see, you know, I could see him totally doing like a Toonie Terrors of this guy and everything else. So you know, hats off for that part. I think they did develop it. So I think there's a lot more they could do with him. I think they need to, if they're going to do something different. I know this was kind of the concept of the movie, but I don't think this is spoiling anything because I think it's in the description. If they do anything further, I think. Yeah, let's. I don't think we go with the hidden camera thing anymore, and let's just try to go more standard type movie with a little more focus on the Carpenter. And I'm telling you, it just they just need to ramp him up. They need to make him even wilder. And I don't want to spoil again, but we're maybe only the one factor that controlled him in this movie, or seemed to control him. And communicate with him. That's the only thing that keeps him grounded at all. Otherwise, I would make him even a more over the top mess. But I don't know. I'm whatever. I'm fan pitching future stuff. You know, I the movie, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't anything great. It was just kind of, yeah, it was kind of there. I always look for something to take away from it that to help me remember. And I guess from this one, it would be the Carpenter and his look and design. I really did enjoy that part of it. I kind of wish there had been at least one really super over the top memorable kill. I don't feel like they had that one kill, that they really let loose with.
No.
I think the kills were a little too standard. And I think with a movie like this, I think you have to lean into at least one of them to try to get people talking. I'm not saying it has to be the salt and bleach or anything like that, but just something. You know, I mean, look at In a Violent Nature. I mean, why was one of the primary reasons people talked about that movie was that one kill scene on the cliff. And so you just, if you're looking for attention in a very quick paced, short attention span world, you got to give them that one thing over the top that can be a clip, a click, you know, a TikTok video or whatever that really catch people's eye for your movie. And I don't think they had that one moment that they could throw out there in a, you know, whatever, 10 second, 15 second video or a picture or whatever, and make people say, "Whoa, what is this?" I think you got to find that in this day and age if you're trying to make your stamp and make your way. So again, hats off, you know, for trying, for the effort. The movie looked good quality wise. You know, it didn't look low budget really. I will say, I think I think some of the acting was a little hokey, a little cheesy. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not relatable to these kind of people. But so anyway, that's kind of my ramblings on the movie. I'm trying. I don't want to say I'm disappointed in the movie or I hated the movie because that's not it. It's just, it didn't necessarily knock me off my feet. So Ike, what do you think?
Well, I will say that I enjoyed the movie overall. I think that in terms of like a formula for a slasher movie, they had the idea right by not making it super long. It's a sweet hour and 20 minutes, plus or minus the credits. And it does a good job. It has a hook in the beginning of the movie. It has a very good hook to get you enticed into the film. I do think that they did a lot of exposition and a little too much introspection, because basically
Yes.
the concept of the movie is that you're watching s these cameras, and I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm not going to spoil the content, but in the s description of the movie, it even says that there are hidden cameras. So
Yeah.
I'm not spoiling this for anyone. So you're watching the hidden cameras as a group of people arrive to this rental. And this group of people begins to watch a movie, which is then the majority of the film.
Yes.
And this is after a small introduction clip that hooks you in, and then it then transitions to this other introduction, which then introduces you to another introduction. So it just felt like it was piled too tall. You know what I mean? We were wading into waters that were way too deep. We were up to our tits in exposition.
Yeah,
Like,
it made me very much think of, was it which one was it? Was it Scream 4 at the beginning?
yeah, where it's got
It's like
Kristen
the,
Bell,
yeah, it's like
right?
the stab inside the stab inside the, it was like, did it like two or three times with the false fit.
Exactly.
That's.
It's like, bro, like you actually are about to say what I'm going to say. This is not the WWE. We don't need 14 false finishes before we get the submission. Like,
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. I don't know that that concept added anything to the movie, really. I don't know.
I would say that it took a little bit away from it, because I was very confused for a minute. And I was like,
Yeah.
why are we going, three knuckles deep here? Like, I think we could have just done the one or the two here. But I get it. I get why they set it up that way. Lot of popular horror, they're trying to be meta. They're trying to get that representation of a meta horror, and I get it. I get why they were doing it. So I'm not gonna deduct too many points for doing that. I just think it was strange. It did give me a little bit of a chuckle, because I was sitting here like, bro, like what the fuck? It's like a scary movie. It's like a scary movie's spoofing a meta movie. Like, oh yeah, I know we just started the movie, but let's start another movie that's going to start another movie,
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, once you actually get into the meat and potatoes of the movie, it's relatively enjoyable. I do think that they could have done it better to the direction of every kill was very final, and I feel like they could have maybe left a couple of them alive, or at least somewhat alive, to sort of drive the plot a little further.
Yeah, or at least one.
Right. It just felt too, I felt like, again, it just felt too final. I feel like the purpose of a good slasher is there's got to be a final person, right? It doesn't have to be a final girl, it could be a final guy, a final they them. It just somebody. Just somebody to leave to give you a little taste. And I just felt like that there wasn't enough to connect to the outer story that made it meaningful. There wasn't enough to connect to the outer story either. It just kind of felt pointless. So I think that's my big thing, is that there was not enough connection to intertwine the three stories, and there was not enough to take me from point A to point B and to be fully satisfied with what was going on. I just feel like they could have maybe given a little bit of that, like that little taste of maybe somebody did survive. But you don't get that flavor when you finish the movie. But otherwise, it was a very formulaic slasher. It had all the major tropes and sidesteps and points to a major slasher. You have the exposition within the exposition within the exposition that leads you to the climax, which then leads to a reveal that leads to the finale. And it worked pretty well. Good concept overall. Definitely reminded me of the 13 Camera movie. I don't know if you've ever seen that one. Similar concept, slasher in the desert kind of deal. But hey, I enjoyed it. It was enjoyable enough. I didn't think it was a complete waste of my time. I just wish they would have done it just a little bit differently.
Again, yeah, I don't think it was a waste of my time either, but it is one of those that, it does make me, glad we have the things like Screambox and Shudder and the Tubis and different things like that that can give somebody like this a platform to put this out there. Even if I didn't think it was the greatest thing overall, I mean, again, I didn't hate it, but it is, it's important for people to get the opportunity to, if they're going to do this, to attempt their craft, and hopefully they'll look at it and say, okay, well, you know what we should have done in retrospect is this and this and this, and maybe not done that or whatever, and then so our next project, we've learned some, we can, we'll do some things a little different. And they get the feedback where if, if they don't get that, opportunity, who knows? You may miss a very, what may become a very prominent filmmaker, who just needed the opportunity to get their feet wet. So, but again, that's why I'm glad that services like Screambox do grab the rights for these movies and put them out there. I think it's a win-win for everybody involved. It obviously helps the filmmakers. It helps Screambox, right? It gives them some original content that you can't see anywhere else. And as horror fans, even if you don't absolutely love the movie, it still gives us something new to watch that we, wouldn't have had it. We're in a kind of a lull period here, right? We don't have a lot of theatrical releases right now, and prominent things coming out, so it does give us something new to watch still. So so let's rate this again. I gotta go just slightly under that middle of the ground three. I think I gotta give it a 2.5. I just think some of they had some ideas. I don't think they landed all of them well enough to make it that middle ground enjoyable, but it's a 2.5. It's leaning more towards the three than it is the two for me. It's kind of, if it's leaning a little more that way because they did have some hits on this. I did like again, the look of the Carpenter and the concept. I'd like, if they could come up with really a killer backstory about him, it would be great. I'd love to see that. Just even if it's just a short film or something, I'd love to see more. So I'm going to give it a 2.5 screams out of five. Ike, what are you giving it?
I'm going to give it probably I would say a 2.5 out of 5 as well. I think that's a pretty fair rating. The reason I would not give this a 3 specifically is because there is too much potential lost with some of the things they did that it did not quite reach a 3. I don't think I'd ever go back and watch this movie as well, which is a big thing. Basically, if we rate it under a 3, I would say that those movies have a very small chance of us going back and rewatching them without some other purpose. And that would definitely fall into this. Probably would not rewatch this movie unless maybe they came out with a sequel or something like that,
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It's kind of a peculiar movie where it's like, I don't know that I'd rewatch this, but if I came across and saw, oh, there's a Killer Rental 2, I would probably be like, okay, yeah, let's see what they did next. And I'd watch it for sure. So it is kind of peculiar in that. Like I said, it's very hard to say because, well, I can say definitively it's like I didn't love it, over the top love it. I mean, I didn't hate it either though. So I got to, it's like, oh, it's like that middle ground. I got to rate, oh, how does my blah feel about it? Where does it kind of end up sticking and landing? Yeah, again, I think 2.5's a pretty fair assessment. I kind of hope we do get a sequel of some sort. I would like to see if there's some growth there and where it goes from here. Or if they just stick with the same, if they're dedicated to their form and stick with it. I mean, whatever the case may be, I'd be curious to see what they do. So there you have it. That is Killer Rental. So go check it out on Screenbox. It's available now. And next episode, speaking of our friends at Screambox and Shudder and all those good services, we are going to finally get to watch and review Good Boy, because it is coming to Shudder on November 21st. We didn't really say this is a new release because it's been out there right in the theater. We did mention it a week or two ago that it was coming to Shudder. So we didn't really reiterate it. Sometimes we do, but it is. It is going to hit Shudder on November 21st. This will be our first chance to see it. I'm very much looking forward to seeing this because I have been curious about this movie from the moment we heard about the concept. I remember in the news way back when, hearing about this concept of a horror movie from the perspective of a dog, and it has piqued my interest ever since. And everything I've seen since then has even piqued it even more. So we'll see if they can capitalize on my curiosity with it. But I can tell you, no matter what I think of the movie, no matter what I think of the story, the effects, anything else, I can tell you right now, without a shadow of a doubt, I'm going to love the dog. So
yes,
I love dogs. So whatever it may be, it is aptly titled because I'm sure he's going to be a very good boy. And so I am
five
curious.
out of five because there's a dog.
That's right. I'm very, yeah, we may have to rate. We'll have to do two ratings, right? We'll rate the movie next week, what we think of it, and we'll rate the movie, the dog. And what we think of it. I want to see the dog get nominated for an award.
Right.
That would be so cool. So anyway, that's what we are going to review next episode. So if you have not seen it yet, go check it out on Shudder. I think this is probably one of the bigger straight to streaming, especially like Shudder releases, they're probably have gotten this year. I mean, to me, there's been a lot of buzz about Good Boy. So I think, you know, a movie that Shudder has the rights to and has gotten exclusively. I think this is one of their bigger captures for the year to get to put out first. So good on them. We'd like to say thank you to the wives and then all of you listeners and followers for all your support and encouragement as we do this and make this. Hopefully you're watching the movies along. Hopefully you're enjoying yourself as you're along for the ride. But it's a lot more fun if you subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform. Just look up, listen to their screams, or listen the number two and screams. We post all kinds of cool stuff, including all the news and anniversaries we talk about in the episode. But then other news, other anniversaries, other movie anniversaries and birthdays and other things. Just whatever we're feeling. You can see that on social media. So make sure you give us a follow on all the platforms or whichever is your favorite. So, Ike, before we close this out, anything you want to add?
Oh, man. We are approaching Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is next week. So the next episode we have will be out on Thanksgiving.
That is true.
Weirdly enough, I was thinking about that earlier. I was like, holy shit, next week's Thanksgiving, and the week's almost over. So,
we're going to give you something to listen to while you're out driving from family to family and dinner to dinner and whatever else is. As you make your road trips, we'll give you something to listen to.
Yeah, absolutely.
That definitely means then that by the time we record next, I will probably have, we'll get to say that in the opening, what else did I watch that I will have, I've watched Thanksgiving, the movie by then, hopefully. So I definitely have to get that watch in before Thanksgiving. So
absolutely.
Time to watch that one. So, well, all right then. So yeah, we'll see you next week in Turkey Week. That gives us the chance next episode to use the one saving grace from Thanksgiving, and that is the line "Gobble gobble, motherfucker." we'll save that for the big close for next week, though. So you know what's coming, guys. But no, until next week again, when we will be reviewing Good Boy, which is coming to Shudder on November 21st. Wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.